Now, the toy maker Mattel introduced its first autistic Barbie doll, a new product in its Barbie Fashionistas inclusive toy range designed to reflect diversity and neurodiversity in children's playthings. The doll is part of a broader trend towards inclusive toys and disability representation in retail and comes after the brand expanded its lineup to include dolls with varied abilities, conditions and body types. The launch highlights shifting expectations in the global toy market for representation in play and underscores how some major brands are responding to demand for products that mirror real world diversity. And there's been a lot of media coverage over this over the last number of days and a lot of discussion. We mentioned on the program last week and got a lot of response from you, the listeners, in relation to your views on what it represents and what it is. One of those who got in touch with us in relation to this in frustration was Jean O'Sullivan, who is the mother of her son Michael, who has autism and other additional needs. Jean, good morning to you and thanks for joining me in the program this morning.
Good morning, Jerry. How are you keeping?
Very good. Now, look, you made the point, and I think it was a fair point to make that, look, it's all fine and well to be looking and talking about autistic dolls and seeing more representation, but what people would prefer, or the people with children with additional needs would prefer, is services and improvement in services across the board.
Absolutely, Jerry. I suppose, look, Mattel are very on the ball here. They're a multinational toy company. They are, you know, this for them, for us, I suppose, and the way I look at this, it's just a feel-good marketing ploy for families of children with autism to make us think that, look, we see you, you know, we know you're there, but the reality is we're invisible. I mean, the internet has gone absolutely crazy over a doll, a piece of plastic, when families are on their knees and they're begging for services and to be seen and to be heard. Where are the celebrities then? You know, they're out endorsing a doll. And, you know, like families are like, you know, I'm not saying the doll isn't going to bring some kind of comfort to a child, but, you know, they talk about inclusion. But I suppose my opinion is that the doll shows the very glamorous side of autism. You know, if you want to be inclusive, where is Meltdown Barbie? Where is, Barbie with more additional needs, you know, with autism? You know, and think, you know, like it's a world gone mad. People are gone crazy over it all. But the craziness isn't there when they need to protect the most vulnerable or protect the children that need help and the families that need help and the young adults. I mean, the services are shocking. And, you know, there's no mention of respite or adult service or those kind of things that we need for our children going forward. But it's all talk about how this doll is just a great deal for the parish, really. And, you know, it's a bit disappointing. And this is my opinion. Maybe some people might think that I have very little worrying me that I'm here this morning talking about it all. But I suppose I'm just looking at the bigger picture here that, you know, Mattel stand to make a lot of money from this doll, of course. And are they going to, you know, give back to the special needs communities around the world? I mean, obviously Ireland are going, I know Mattel is an American company, but Ireland are going to stock the doll, you know, are they going to,
yeah, like everybody,
know, are,
else,
are they going to are they going to contribute something?
Yeah, yeah. Jean, there's been a lot of criticism from different advocates and campaigners and people like yourself, families. I remember reading in recent days one parent of an autistic child saying there's what's actually missing here is the telling, they said. There's no representation of autistic distress, no burnout, no exclusion from education or isolation in society, no restraint or seclusion, no endless appointments or psychiatrists misdiagnosing personality disorders, no medications, no unemployment, no discrimination, no health issues or body struggles, no comfortable clothing, no people who are not cute, compliant or socially acceptable. This is so-called autism with all the sharp edges removed, which is kind of what you're talking about there.
It's a very glamorous autism Mattel are trying to portray. And, you know, this is what's disappointing, I suppose, for me, really. I mean, I see it myself, you know. People don't want to know. I mean, the doll has got ear defenders and a fidget spinner and an iPad and looks very glamorous. But, you know, for a lot of families, this isn't the case. You know, and they're talking about inclusion, but this isn't inclusion. This is just, look, this is only an idea thrown at the public. Look, here we have we've covered the autism sector now. Be happy, you know. It's soul destroying, really. You know that you know, families are left. You know, there's, like I said, no services, no respite, no adult service. Like that, this is what families are crying out for. Not a doll. We want to be seen, of course. Of course, we want inclusion, but not in the line of a plastic doll. We want, you know, the celebrities to come behind us, the organisations to stand side by side, shoulder to shoulder with families and say, right, you know, we are going to shout for services, not shout that you have this doll. No, it's amazing. It's just going to be life changing. It's not like, it's just, like I said, this, you know, feel good marketing. This is what it is. This feel good marketing. We see you guys, but really they don't, you know. And, you know, it's just, I'm only making ploy, like I said, for Mattel. And all we as families need, and especially, you know, from my own perspective, we need respite, we need adult services, we need adequate, you know, services for our children. And this is all families are crying out for. We don't care about the doll. Like, to be honest, the doll wouldn't make or break me. If I'm not saying to people, don't go out and buy this doll if it's something you want to do, flake on, but look at the bigger picture here. This doll hasn't come to save me or my boys, or, you know, it's not going to do anything for us, you know. And the advertising and the campaign that's gone in behind it is just ridiculous. I mean, we really do live in weird times, that people get so excited over a doll, and, you know, that when the real issues are there, that people don't want to stand beside us, you know. And, like, I suppose I just see that a lot, you know, that different people would often say to me, like, why don't the special needs community take to the streets or, you know, go to Dublin, you know, protest outside the doll? But sure, how can we? We have to mind our children. We don't have...
You're under your own pressure practically in relation to being able to do that, or do it over several days and all of that. Look, what would you say is the biggest issue for... And I know there's a number of issues, Jean, just finally on it. What would you say is the biggest issue for families of children with these needs? Is it a combination of the need for diagnosis and intervention, but then also that other concern that I know a lot of families have is adult services for when
One thing that I'm hearing a lot on the ground, and I would be involved with a lot of families, and I suppose, you know, going back to the doll again and the glamorous side of autism, that, you know, we have been promised this step change and certain things have happened, but it seems to be for, you know, children that wouldn't have severe behavioural issues, you know, that children with behavioural issues and that would be that would have would be more profound are constantly being left behind, you know. We need respite services, we need adequate adult services for them. I spoke to a parent lately, and her son had started, you know, in the adult service, and thankfully things are going well. But she said to me, you know, she said, it's so different from when I was at St. Francis School. I had, you know, everything was going well. She said, things are okay here too. But the problem is the service is mixed ability. So, you know, it's not catering fully to her child's needs either. And these are the changes that have to be made. You know, these are what families are crying out for. Unfortunately, we're not going to live forever, you know, and we need, you know, someone to stand up for us now and say, look, you know, we're going to shake up the system. We're going to have adequate adult services going forward. Families need respite. The families and the people of Kerry, we're on our knees looking for respite. There are 7 respite beds in the county for children.
That's an acute problem here in Kerry, and it hasn't really been improved that much over the last number of years. There's a huge demand all the time
for respite. And, like, you know, it's just not acceptable. This step change has been promised. Where the hell is it? Like, you know, we're waiting, and no one seems to be listening. And there's so much, like, going back to the doll, there's so much noise about the doll. You know, why can't people get out and blog about services, about what's going on? I mean, obviously families do, but why can't some celebrities come behind us and say, look, right, here I am, I'm going to help you get what you really need, you know? And that's just the point I'm trying to make. You know, I see families, and my phone, people would ring me here on a regular basis. I do my best to try to help in a situation if I can. But, you know, sometimes you just can't help because the service isn't there. Yeah. And, you know, like, I suppose with St. Mary the Angels, and, you know, trying to, you know, having a facility like that there, you know, we have to work on making that a centre of excellence. And, you know, we have that piece of the puzzle only to put it together, you know, and like, we really have to look out for our own.
Jean, do you think, look, on that side of it, and look, the doll is one thing, but also other organisations, some towns are getting involved. I think AIB is the latest one now to have to partner up with As I Am, the charity, to try and be more aware, be more autism friendly. Shops are having a specific hour or two a week whereby they turn down the lights and turn off the music. And those things are to be welcomed, but your point is not as a mask for the other more important things that need to be done.
Absolutely. I mean, all those things are welcome, Gerry, of course, and they really, really are. You know, this year, you know, Norma Foley had, you know, opened, you know, she had a post up about, you know, inclusion in the cool camps, which was absolutely fantastic and an amazing initiative. But then again, for my own buying, he wouldn't be able for that, you know. Yeah. And it's kind of like we fix one thing, but we forget about the other thing. And this is the point I'm trying to make, that the children with the more profound needs, with the most challenging behaviours, these are the ones that are really, really left behind. And I'm not saying the ones that don't have challenging behaviours aren't
Should
left
be
behind
either,
but
yeah,
you know, but I'm just making the point, like, that we're constantly going on about inclusion, inclusion, inclusion. Include everybody, not just a few. If you want to open something up, it has to be opened up for everybody. There has to be a common ground for every single child and every young adult in the county, you know, going forward. We can't just say that, right, we've this done here now, this is great. We have to, you know, keep her lit, keep it going, because, you know, our children deserve it. They deserve to be heard. They deserve to be seen. We as families deserve the same. You know, we saved the government a fortune for caring for our children, you know, and for respite services in the county. You know, it's costing the government far less than what it would cost if a family who couldn't cope anymore decided in the morning that they were looking for full-time residential care.
Yeah,
you know, and
yeah,
that is the bottom line. You
Jean,
know,
is there any way to, and this is, look, a suggestion in terms of what's happening, because what's happening within the health services, the mental health side of it, the special needs side of it, is reflected across services in terms of recruitment and retention. The issue of not enough psychiatric nurses, not enough support nurses, not enough maybe consultants at a level in order to meet the family's assessments of needs, which are needed at a young age. And that can be a problem across the services, that, you know, traditionally, and it's a fact, that the mental health side of our health service was underinvested in for decades. That now there should be sort of a prioritisation, that if you are going to try and concentrate in one area or recruitment in one sector, that it should be diverted first to the mental health side of things and children's services and adult services in special needs. That would be, you know, a way to go in terms of saying, yeah, this is a priority. We're going to fix this particular element of it first. I'm not sure if that can be done, but would you like to see a concentration on that perhaps?
I mean, I would, of course. Like, I mean, even for, you know, for, you know, the services and a staffing, and I do understand that there is a problem there, but, you know, pay the staff a bit better. I mean, any home support worker I ever had here working with my boy always told me that the money wasn't great, you know, and they had to move on, because at the end of the day, when they wanted to apply for a mortgage or something like that, even though they were working with a particular service, they didn't apply. They couldn't get the mortgage. This is all part of it. Those little parts and puzzles of the jigsaw has to be fixed too. Treat your staff well. It's a bit like the old Irish saying, I suppose, it's Mullin Oga agus Tuigig Siad. I suppose you could use that in the same reference for staff. You know, treat your staff well and you'll get staff to work. Do you know what I mean? So that's my opinion.
One thing they could be fixing. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, I mean, the minimum wage isn't mighty with the cost of living that's there. And, you know, so, like, it's probably easier, you know, for people that work in these jobs when the money isn't great, you know, they're going to want to look to something else. They might want to look, you know, into maybe working privately for a family, but not every family can afford that. Do you know what I mean? So
it's a fair point, Jean. It's a fair point. Listen, we're out of time, but look, thanks for responding to us, and thanks for talking, thanks for making that point on behalf of people out there who are in that system and need more support. But thanks for taking the time to talk to me this morning, Jean. Okay, there's Jean O'Sullivan with us on the line. If you have a view on what she had to say, get in touch. Councillor Tommy Cahill gets in touch this morning. I'd like to commend the sheer passion and unbelievable work that Jean O'Sullivan does for families with children with additional needs and chronic conditions. Jean constantly raises the urgent need for respite services and adult daycare services. It's sad in this day and age that many parents get so little respite. Jean's a star for keeping this issue on the agenda.